You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
In a recently released study from the University of Otago, researchers surveyed over 1,000 participants, with over two-thirds of these participants supporting the idea of the government developing plans to deal with catastrophes extending across the political spectrum. Such catastrophes include nuclear war, the spread of bioengineered infectious diseases, and weather events. On Friday, I spoke to senior researcher and a population health professor at the University of Otago Wellington, Nick Wilson, about the study and what the government already has in place to deal with these risks.
What was the inspiration behind the study? Why look into this now?
So we did this research in response to really the growing international concern around catastrophic risk. Risk arising from such threats as nuclear war in the Northern Hemisphere, or the threat from bioengineered pandemics, or even AI going rogue. So there's a range of catastrophic risks that really have been neglected in government planning. So we focused on those. And actually our survey showed that New Zealanders, as you said, a majority of them favoured the government developing specific plans to deal with these extreme risks. And there was also majority support for establishing a commission or an agency to monitor and report on these types of extreme risks. So we were pleased to see that actually the support was widespread across different social groups, and even it didn't vary by political orientation. So people on the right and left of the political spectrum both seemed to think that, there was a role for government to protect society from these sort of risks. We think that this really gives the government a mandate for action in this area to maybe establish a dedicated agency, and I mean, that could even be done in partnership with Australia, because Australia faces many of these similar catastrophic risks. And the government could even just have a designated role like a chief risk officer. And these type of roles are common in industry. For example, Air New Zealand, that where Prime Minister Luxon used to work, I mean, it's got a chief risk officer. But the New Zealand government doesn't have that role, and yet we really need it to be able to look across these various risks and think about how we can both prevent them, but also to build resilience if prevention fails and we have to face these type of catastrophes.
Now, if we're looking at these risks, and you mentioned a couple such as nuclear warfare, rogue artificial intelligence, and bioengineered infectious diseases, this may be a bit too early to say, but where are we most at risk?
Well, these risks are changing rapidly, and part of that is the development of new technology. So with bioengineered pandemics, you have developments in biotechnology that making it easier for these type of new pathogens to be synthesized. And actually, artificial intelligence can also help accelerate that progress. So those are areas where the risk is various expert authorities think there's real concern there for increased risk. And unfortunately, also, we're going backwards on nuclear arms control. And the Russian invasion of Ukraine has increased the risk of nuclear war as well, with Russia frequently referring to its nuclear arsenal and threatening in various ways to use it. And unfortunately, also, we're going backwards on arms control, with a number of arms control treaties lapsing or being various parties leaving them. So, yeah, the international situation is very concerning in terms of the risk of either various conventional warfare expanding or nuclear war as well. So those are areas of great concern. But there are some catastrophic risks that we absolutely know will occur in the future, and that is, we know that there can be large volcanic eruptions that block the sunlight. That's happened multiple times in the last 2,000 years with volcanic winters that have often caused famines. And we know also that there can be major solar storms that could potentially wreck electrical grids. And we know from tree ring studies that there's been multiple solar storms over the last few thousand years. And so this provides another potential catastrophic risk where our electrical grid could be fried in an extreme solar storm. So there's many of these type of catastrophes, similar resilience building measures could occur that made New Zealand more robust to survive them. But there's just a marked lack of planning by government to even talk about these risks.
You've briefly touched on my next question a little bit here, but currently how prepared are we for these risks, these events? What frameworks are already in place to deal with these forms of catastrophes?
Well, New Zealand is getting better and better at emergency management. Unfortunately, because we're getting more climate-related disasters. So we're getting better at dealing with things like floods and extreme weather events, and we've got some planning around earthquakes and volcanic eruptions. But our planning is very localised just to New Zealand, and we haven't really explored planning for global catastrophes where the whole world is affected. So that's where we really need to improve the situation. And we come from a very good starting point in that New Zealand's a geographically remote island nation. So that means there's some protection against things like nuclear winter and also volcanic winter. And because we're an island, we can close our borders. So that may help with future extreme pandemics. So we're well positioned, but we also lack areas of resiliency so that even though we're a great food producer, all our agricultural machinery runs on imported diesel. So we have no refining capacity in this country to produce biofuels for our machinery. So that's an area of obvious need for improved resiliency so that we can keep our machinery running after various catastrophes that block trade internationally.
I want to go a bit more in depth to that last point there, because that pretty much touches on quite a lot of my last question here. You mentioned our geographic location. We are quite isolated from the rest of the world and therefore a lot more safe from some of these events like nuclear winter, for example. However, in the event of such a catastrophic event that impacts countries overseas, our trading partners, how important is it that we become more self-reliant in this sort of situation?
Well, we're already super self-sufficient in food production. In fact, we're a major food exporter. So we have no trouble in terms of producing food. But as I mentioned, the inputs to that food production, we're vulnerable. So we import a lot of fertilizer. We import various agricultural chemicals. And critically, we import all the diesel to run farm machinery and to run trucks, for example. So we need to do things like electrify our transport system more, electrify our farm machinery more, and have that capacity to turn things like canola into biodiesel to keep agricultural machinery and trucking and so on running. So we're in a very good position in many ways, but we have these weak links that we just are not even considering. Even though doing some of these things would be good for everyday life, you know, if we had a more electrified railway system and so on, that would be good for greenhouse gas emissions now and build resiliency for smaller, you know, local disasters as well. So there's quite a lot of win-wins when you improve resiliency for the whole of society.
And summarising our chat, and you've also touched on this a bit as well, but ideally, what would catastrophe preparation look like?
Yeah, it needs to really look at all aspects of society so that we build resiliency at different levels of government, so that if central government is not working so well, local government can be stronger. So we need to build those governance systems and have more community participation and more effective democracy so that if there's problems at the central level, you can still have society functioning very well at the local level. We need to look at the food system. As I said, you know, there's some vulnerabilities there. We need to look at the transport system and energy systems, the communication system. We're very dependent on things like the internet, and yet, you know, we need to understand how things like that can be kept going, how we can keep the electrical grid working without relying on imported parts. being able to make those spare parts ourselves, and so on. I mean, we're, as I said, we're in a good position in many ways. We're already got very good hydropower, and we're expanding our solar power and wind power and so on. But we're still very, you know, in terms of liquid fuels, we're super dependent. And I think, you know, as a society, we're very psychologically dependent on things like the internet. And yet we don't know if we could really sustain those things in some types of catastrophes, even though, you know, having a functioning internet would be a very good thing for community communication and so on.
That was the University of Otago Wellington's Nick Wilson on a recent study showing a majority of New Zealanders surveyed want the government to implement plans to deal with catastrophic risks.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.